But take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16, if you would, please. Mark 16. And we'll look at verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And beloved, what we have before us is none other than the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. The words of Jesus Christ, one of his post-resurrection appearances. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, in all four of the gospel accounts, we have this emphasized. We have the giving of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, here in Mark chapter 16, in Luke chapter 24, as well as in John chapter 20. We also have it in Acts chapter 1. The repetition signifies that this divine commission is of great importance. And beloved, certainly it is. For it's the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And what is that message? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, the body of Christ, all, have been commissioned. Each and every one of us. We all are ambassadors of Christ. It's the message that we give. It's not ourselves. It's not ourselves that we preach. It's Christ that we preach. It's a life-changing message. Those of you that, by the grace of God, have experienced salvation. In other words, you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, been born again. Understand that you are lost in your sins, under the wrath of God. The Spirit of God did a work in your heart, brought you to that point of repentance, that change of mind, and then enabled you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you did so, you became a child of God. You were saved. You were made a new creature. Beloved, this is the only message that there is that can alter one's eternal destiny. There's no other message. It's the only message that can truly impact the life in which we live today. It's the only life-giving message there is. Oh, there's a lot of counterfeits. There's a lot of how-tos available, but nothing. Nothing compares to the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus Christ is our life. He is the good news. Child of God, you struggle with a bad attitude? Think upon things above. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, the one who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And what will happen with that bad attitude? It will quickly disappear. And in its place will be joy, a heart of thanksgiving. Perhaps something has you worried. The scriptures say, cast all of your care, your every care upon him, for he loves you. He cares for you. And soon your worry, your unbelief, that's what it is, it's sin. We confess it. It will be replaced with faith and with peace. Perhaps, child of God, you have failed him by falling prey to the temptations of the enemies of the cross. The enemies are our flesh, the devil, Satan, and of course this world system. Confess your sins, trusting in his precious promise of complete forgiveness, total cleansing, total restoration that he provides through the continual cleansing power of his blood. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn now, if you would please, to Matthew's account here of the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. Yes, it is a life-altering message that we preach, that we share. We don't have the time this morning, but if you were to take the time and look at Matthew 28, look at Luke 24, Mark 16, where we just were, John chapter 20, verse 21, and see the gospel accounts, the gospel writer's account of the Great Commission, and you compare it, you study it, you look at it, and include, of course, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll learn a lot of things. You'll see that there's much, much encouragement, and there's also much, much instruction. Again, we don't have the time to go through all those things. But just to mention a couple of them. Our responsibility of giving out the gospel to somebody, it does not stop with the proclaiming of the good news. You see, once that person gets saved, and follows the Lord of believers' baptism, identifying with Christ, giving public testimony to the change that God has done in their hearts, then there's more responsibility. More responsibility for the church. The church's responsibility, beloved, is what? To the saint. It's to mend the saint, equipping them to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians chapter 4. The saint's responsibility is to be willing to do what God has called them to be. And He has called every one of us. He has commissioned every one of us to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors. No, we train. We disciple. Christian, those of you that God gives opportunity, are you willing to give of your time and invest it in the life of another Christian? Of course, as parents, we're doing that with our own children, I trust. But how about kind of spiritually adopting somebody else and helping them, teaching them, living Christ before them? A lot of things out there, a lot of people out there, a lot of fads out there that will try to be an, quote, example to them, but they're not helping. Yes, we have a responsibility. You know, it's interesting when we look at Matthew 28, let's read these three verses, verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me, to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." You know, just one simple thought, beloved. Any Christian that is serious about this charge, these words, teaching them to observe most things? No. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. One who is serious about that, they will be a fundamentalist. One who's not serious about those things, and there are many, they will easily fall into that camp of ecumenism and that practice of the new evangelical, where you kind of pick and choose. You choose the positives, but maybe leave off some of the negatives. Because we tire to hear sometimes of the warnings. Beloved, you see, when we give the gospel, we find in Luke's account there that involved in the Great Commission is the teaching and preaching of repentance. That's in Luke chapter 24. It's part of it. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who made this statement on His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I'll read them for you. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Turn now in closing, beloved, to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians 2. We're going to see Paul, is going to make a similar statement as what we just quoted from Matthew chapter 5 by the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, Paul addressing these saints there. And look, if you would please, at verse number 15. "That ye may be blameless." Now the "ye" there is in the plural. He's addressing this body of believers, this assembly. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as" what, beloved? "As lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Paul says, "that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." You see, this is another reminder that Paul gives. He does it several times. That he's going to give an account with how he ministered to these saints. Now, how they do and what they do with the light, that's not his responsibility. That's going to be their own. But, beloved, he wanted it to be a time of great rejoicing and not a time of shame at the Bema Seat for these saints. "Holding forth the word of life." But you know, the verse does not start there. It actually starts back in verse 14. Catch this. Yes, he says that ye be blameless that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. But the sentence does not start there. It starts with these words in verse 14, do all things without murmurings. Do all things without murmurings. Murmurings is grumblings, mutterings. You know what murmuring actually means? It means a secret debate. Did you catch that? A secret displeasure, not always openly avowed. But not only do all things without murmuring, without those secret debates, do it without disputings. Do it without those carnal inward reasonings that lead to hesitation, that leads to distancing yourself from the rest of the flock. That's what Paul is addressing here. He's been saying, be of one accord, be of one mind, have the mind of Christ. And beloved, that's what we all need, collectively as a body, as a testimony, and as individual believers, to have the mind of Christ, to be one, of one accord, because it's God alone who can give us and does give us that Spirit-filled desire and enablement for Spirit-filled evangelism. I trust by the grace of God, we are allowing our lights to shine brightly for the glory of God, that others would see our good works, that they'll desire to glorify their Father in heaven, having an opportunity to give them the truth. Amen. Thank the Lord for that ministry song and the offertory as well. It is with great delight that we introduce to you Miss Rachel Hughes. She was recommended to us from Pastor David Cox. She's a missionary to Ukraine, and I'm looking forward to her sharing with us the burden that God has laid on her heart. And Rachel, Lord bless you.
It's a blessing to be here with you all. I thank the pastor and his family for allowing me to stay with them and for allowing me to come. I heard about your church through David Cox. He is a lifelong friend of ours. We knew him when he first started out as a missionary when he was at Bob Jones University, and then we knew him before he was married. Then we knew him when he married Tuli and then had his two beautiful children. And so we've known them for a long time, and just appreciate his ministry and testimony. And it's a blessing to have a church that was recommended, to be at a church that was recommended by him. My name is Rachel Hughes, and I'm going to Ukraine as a missionary. I'll be going to reach Jews and Gentiles for God's glory. I know there are a lot of different reasons to go to the mission field. There's compassion that God gives us for the lost, and just a desire to help people, to change people's lives for the better, to help improve the conditions that they live in. But I believe for myself, the most important reason for me to go is for God's glory, that He will be glorified. I know that I have a great love for the Ukrainian people, but I won't always feel that in hard times. But I believe that He will help me stay as long as I am there for His glory. And I ask that you would pray that that I will be in His will and I will be right. If I am to minister for His glory, I need to be right, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. So my greatest desire in visiting churches is that they will pray for me. And I would appreciate that very much. I don't know if you are familiar with many missionaries to the Jewish people, but our mission board, our theme verse is Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first. And we believe this is God's command to us, especially to our missionaries and our mission board, but also for everybody, that we go to the Jewish people first. I would like to tell you a little bit about my testimony. I was saved when I was 4 years old. Are there any other four-year-olds here today? He's two, and she's five. But the Lord blessed me to have a brother who had a very tender heart at a very young age. He was saved when he was four, my brother Danny, you see here. And he came to me when I was four, when he was five, and said, Rachel, if you don't ask Jesus to save you from your sins, you're going to go to hell. And I told him I didn't want to do that. And he left. My mom took him out of the room. He left with tears in his eyes. He said, "Rachel, you need to ask Jesus to save you from your sins." He was so burdened for me at that young. And I thank the Lord for him. He's still my hero, still following the Lord faithfully. But I knew there were a lot of things I didn't know about theology and about the Lord, but I knew he was right. I was a sinner. And I knew that if I didn't ask Jesus to save me from my sins, I would go to hell. And I knew that Jesus was the only one who could save me from my sins. And that night I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And I believe he did. As a young child, he knew I didn't know many things, but he knew that I believed in him and I believed in what he had done for me. And I hope all of you here today have made that decision as well. When I was 14 years old, my brother went out to a Christian camp in New Mexico. And I missed him so much, I sold my two prize goats for $700 and bought a ticket to go out and see him for 2 weeks. I just couldn't stand him being away. And while I was at that camp, a speaker was talking about rededicating your life to the Lord, not for salvation, but just a recommitting your life and telling the Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I want to do with my life. And I was very convicted. I went forward. And I'm not sure exactly when it was, if it was right at that moment or very shortly after that, but I felt a very strong burden for the former Soviet Union. And I believe now the Lord was calling me at that point. I came home and I told my mom, I believe the Lord has called me to the former Soviet Union. And she told me right away, she said, well, you know, your brother, not your brother, your grandfather is Russian. And I didn't realize that granddaddy was Russian. I never knew that. And she said, and he has his father's old Russian Bible. And as soon as I saw it, I said, I want to learn Russian. I want to learn to speak Russian. The Lord introduced me to my Russian teacher, Raisa Gomer. She is from Ukraine, and she is Jewish, which I find amazing. I didn't know what country I was going to. I didn't know how the Lord would direct me, but he's led me to Ukraine to work with the Jewish people. And she is now my Russian mother. We are very close, and I'm very thankful for her friendship. She does not yet know the Lord as her Savior, and I ask that you would please pray for her. Even right now while you're sitting there, her name is Raisa Gomer. Please pray that she will come to know the Lord as her Savior. I'm praying that will happen before I get to Ukraine. But the Lord gave me this verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I claim that it's his promise that one day I would be able to go to Ukraine or the former Soviet Union. I wasn't thinking of Ukraine at that time. And when I was 19 years old, the Lord allowed me to go to Kiev for the first time, and I loved it. I was there for 5 weeks. Again, in 2001, when I was at Bob Jones University, they took their first ever trip to Ukraine, which I think is really neat. The Lord's timing is always perfect, and I was able to go on that mission trip in 2001. And again, in 2003, I was able to go back for about 2 months. And each time, the Lord just used the trips to confirm my burden for the people. Have a great love for the people, and just when I go to Ukraine, I was there again this past summer, I just feel like I'm home. I can't explain it. I miss my family, but I feel like this is exactly where the Lord wants me. Just some pictures. Kiev is the most beautiful city in Ukraine. It is lovely. Unfortunately, the beauty of the country is much of it is from the Russian Orthodox Church, and they teach a false gospel, but they are very artistic and very creative people. And I love seeing the beauty they can create. This is the family I stayed with the first time. As you can see, the father, he's not from Ukraine. He's from Peru. And he came to Ukraine to learn to be a better communist. And while he was there, the Lord saved him. And he is a missionary doctor, and his wife is a missionary nurse. And that's one of their daughters. I went to Odessa. That's right on the Black Sea, a port city of the Black Sea. And this is our mission team from Bob Jones University. We had youth meetings for teens and also WANA clubs for children that summer. This is Kharkiv, the city that I will be living in. Can anybody guess what that machine might be? It was used during the time of communism. Printing press, exactly. This church, their church family made this themselves, and they were not allowed to have Bibles during the time of communism, but they printed their own Bibles. and they would meet out in the woods because they weren't allowed to meet in the churches. It wasn't that long ago. But the last time I was in Ukraine, the Lord further spoke to my heart. My life verse had always been Psalm 37:4, that he would lead me to Ukraine. I claimed it as if I would delight myself in him. But as I kept thinking about the verse, even while I was in Ukraine, a friend and I were talking, actually, and she said, you know, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he also creates the desires in your heart that he wants to be there. He changes you as you delight in him. And then I ran across this verse, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to inquire in his temple. And I just felt very strongly the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, your goal is to be a missionary to Ukraine, but I want your goal, first and foremost, to be to love me and to do whatever I want, just to keep your eyes on me, no matter what. And that time, I was so upset. I was here in Ukraine. I said, Lord, are you saying I'm not coming back to Ukraine? Are you saying that this isn't what you want for me? But he didn't answer me. He just said, I want you to put me first before anything else in your life, including Ukraine. And that has to be okay. And I wish I could say that I'd learned that he is the only thing that I ever desire. But that is my goal, and that is what I realize is what he wants for me, to put him first before everything. And a long time later, in 2011, the Lord finally introduced me to my mission board. All that time I'd been waiting and praying, my heart open just to whatever he wanted, and he led me back to Ukraine, not only to Ukraine, but to work with the Jewish people, which I consider an amazing privilege. As I said before, the verse in Romans 1:16, it says that we are to go to the Jew first. And when I first heard that, I'd never heard that before, and I just prayed the Lord would confirm that that's what he wanted me to do, to join a Jewish mission board. I'd always heard we go to all people, and I never heard one person above the other. Not that they are better, but to make it a priority to go to them first. But I ran across this track, To the Jew First, by Robert Murray McShane. He's an old Scottish preacher. You may have heard of him before. But he gave other reasons to go to the Jew first, and these things confirmed in my heart. This is what the Lord wanted for me. It says, judgment begins with them. Also in Romans in chapter 2, it said, God's judgment will begin with the Jewish people. Also, to be like God, Isaiah 49:15 says that even if a new mother forgets her newborn child, God will not forget his people. And you all know how hard it is for a mother to forget her child, especially your mothers. But God's heart is for the Jewish people. Some people think, oh, he's turned his back on the Jewish people. They sinned against him one too many times, and he completely turned his back. And now maybe America is the new Israel or something to that effect. People do believe that. But I can't believe that, because God loves his people, and his heart is for his people. And I believe if we want to be like him, if I want to be like him, my heart will be for them as well. Also, there's Jewish people in many countries, even in our own country. In New York City, there are 2 million Jewish people. In Miami, I don't know how many, but there are very, very many Jewish people. And they are everywhere. Many of you probably know a Jewish person, and the Lord has put them in your life that you might be able to be a witness to them. The Jewish people preserve the scriptures for us, and our Savior was born a Jew. The whole Old Testament is a story of the Jewish people and God's love for them. And then his son was Jewish and came to the Jewish people. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. And he allowed us as Gentiles to be grafted into the family of God. But his son was a Jew. And what greater reason could I have to reach out to the Jewish people than that? God's son was Jewish. So these things confirmed in my heart, this is what the Lord wants, and I was very encouraged. So now I'm on deputation. I am preparing to go. I started deputation officially July 2012, and I'm hoping to be finished. It's my goal to be finished by July 2014. But my goals in deputation are, first of all, to gain solid prayer support. When I go to any church, before I go, I pray that the Lord will burden somebody's heart, maybe just one person's heart in the whole congregation, to pray for me on a regular basis. I know that it's prayer support that is going to keep me on the field, it's going to keep me faithful to the Lord, and it's going to open the hearts of the people to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior and as their Messiah. The Bible says the Jewish people are blinded. And it doesn't just say their hearts are hard, it says that they are blinded, and they need the Holy Spirit to remove that blindness from them, and that can only happen through much prayer. I greatly covet your prayer support. Even if you can't pray for me on a regular basis, I would ask you to please take my prayer card and remember me when you can. Well, that's the main reason that I come to churches. Secondly, I would like to encourage others to be a witness to the Messiah, of the Messiah, in your communities. I'm not sure about Orlando. I know there's many Jewish people in Miami. I'm not sure about your contacts, but I believe that if the Lord lays it on your heart to pray that you might meet a Jewish person, that he will send that person to you and allow you to be a blessing to them and point them to their Messiah. I have different tracts on the table here, different things that can be a help to you in that. And also, I have Bibles that are printed in Hebrew and in English. They are free to anyone who is Jewish. If you have a Jewish friend, you can take one today. It is free. There's both the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and the New Testament. So please tell me if you have a Jewish friend. I'd be very happy to give you a Bible for them. My sending church is Santee Bible Baptist Church in Santee, South Carolina. Kelsey should recognize that. She's been there a few times. And my pastor is Pastor Gene Ball, and it's his wife, Judy. They are very dear to us. We've been going there since I was 14 years old. So as long as I've been going, they've been knowing that I wanted to be a missionary to Ukraine. I'm excited to have them partnering with me. This is my country, Ukraine. You can see Kharkiv up there in the top corner. They're by Russia. It's bordered by Belarus, Poland, Romania, Moldova, and some other countries. Many people don't know, but the Ukraine was settled by a Viking tribe called the Rus that came down from the north. And they settled the area that is now Ukraine, and especially the area that is Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. It was called Kievan Rus after the Rus tribe. And as you can guess, Russia came from Rus. The Ukraine is known as the breadbasket of the former USSR. It has one-fourth of the world's best dark soil, very rich soil that they can grow many, many different kinds of things. And their flag is also patterned after this. The yellow on the bottom represents the fields of wheat, and the blue represents the sky. So you'll never forget and put the yellow on the top, hopefully, and the blue on the bottom. So it's patterned after the sky and fields of grain because it is known as the breadbasket. And also, in addition to their wonderful soil, they also have a very large, beautiful river flowing through the country called the Dnieper River. And I took this picture this summer. You can see some of the fruits of that beautiful soil there. They had a wonderful vegetable and fruit markets. As far as the Jewish people in Ukraine, as long as Ukraine has been a country, there have been Jewish people in the country. And for the same amount of time, there's been persecution of the Jewish people. They have never gotten along, the Ukrainians and the Jewish in general. I'm sure there are some that can get along, but as a rule, and so the Jewish people have been separate. As of now, it is sometimes hard to know who is Jewish in Ukraine because they don't like to tell you. They don't want to let on. And so we hope to have a Jewish-focused ministry to reach out to them, to teach from the Old Testament about the Messiah, but it will be a slow process in finding them and reaching out to them, and it's one reason I plan to spend my whole life there doing that. But I'd ask that you pray that we might be able to find and reach out to them. The main religion in Ukraine is Ukrainian Orthodox. About 90% of the people would claim to be Ukrainian Orthodox or Russian Orthodox. This is a works-based religion. The people believe that they need to work for their salvation. They don't know the message of Ephesians 2:8-9, that it's by grace that we're saved and not by works. And I'd ask that you pray also that their eyes will be open. I'm not just going to reach the Jewish people. That is just our priority. So I ask that you'd pray that the Ukrainians Orthodox would also accept the message of the gospel. Kharkiv is the city I'll be working in. And one of the reasons it took so long for me to end up on the mission field and with a mission board is I needed someone to work with. I knew I couldn't just go by myself. And this is the city. The Lord has provided a wonderful family for me to work with. The Garza family. The Garza family is from Monterrey, Mexico, and they are absolutely precious. We have a problem, though. The Garzas don't know any English, and I don't know any Spanish. So you can pray for us. Their Russian is very good. Mine is a little bit stilted, but we got along fine this summer. I just pray that we'll be able to communicate and work together with all the finer details of planning as we increase in our language abilities in Russian. I hope to learn Spanish after I learn Russian because that's the main thing. But they are wonderful. They are very dedicated. They've been there for 5 years now, working on starting a church plant there, and that will be our main ministry. Their goals, as I said, is to start a church reaching out to the Jew first. As of December this year, they were able to have a small Bible study with a group of Jewish people, and I'm very excited about that. They waited years and years for this to happen, and just last year, they had their first Bible study. And their process of building the church is building relationships and extensive open-air evangelism. About 4 days out of the week, they dedicate to going to different parts of the city and preaching the gospel and handing out literature, especially focused on reaching the Jewish people for Christ. On Monday, for instance, like on Monday, they will go to Victory Square. It's perhaps one of the largest squares in Europe. See Father Lennon's looking down there over the square. But it's a wonderful place to pass out tracts. There are many parks, and Ukrainian people love to be out in their parks, especially when the weather's nice. So it's a wonderful opportunity also. The villages are probably about in half an hour to an hour around the city. They're not really easy to get to, but they have a good car, so they go to the villages every week. And every home has a Nemetsky Ovcharka, which is a German shepherd. It's very scary when they bark and try to knock down the door to get to you. But as far as I know, no missionaries have been eaten yet. So those are their goals, and I plan to assist them. But even going into the country this summer, I knew that I have to have some other ways of helping. Their main ministry is building up the church, but since we don't have a church yet, I was praying about things the Lord would have me to do, and these are the things that He opened up that seem to be the possibilities that He's put before me. First of all, to help them to begin the church. Secondly, the largest crisis pregnancy center is in Kharkiv, in Ukraine, is in Kharkiv. And I visited and asked if I could volunteer there, and they are gospel-based. They preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have volunteers from all different places, but the main body there teaches the gospel. And they said that I would have opportunities to witness to girls or disciple girls one-on-one, and also to teach classes once I get better in Russian. And until then, I can just help with organization, organizing parties, events to promote the center, and also organization of clothes and supplies that are given. So it's a wonderful opportunity for me to be involved there and to learn the work there. Also, I'm a teacher, and I have my master's in elementary education, but I found out this summer that teaching English is a wide open field. I plan to teach English on a volunteer basis. I'll be on a religious visa, so I won't be working. But I want to teach English in Bible clubs, to establish clubs where children can come learn English for free and they'll also get a Bible lesson. And I hope that that will be a fruitful ministry. I have friends in New York who do something similar, but they're artists. They teach art and Bible. And they've had some children get saved through that, and just a wonderful ministry there. So that's my goal. I also hope to start children's Bible clubs in the parks there near our home. And, of course, witnessing and discipleship will be daily work there. So I need your prayers for all these things. The Lord has given me ideas as I've been praying, and I need his strength to follow through on these things. I need his strength to remain faithful. If you would pray for me, first of all, the Lord would be glorified in my life and in my ministry, that he would give me wisdom for deputation. I'm excited to be here because I pray that the Lord will lead me to just the churches he wants me at, and I'm thankful to be here. I do believe that some of you will pray for me, and I feel the Holy Spirit here, and I'm thankful to be here. But I need wisdom to know what future churches to go to, and also for my Russian language study. Very important when I get on the field. It'll be very important for me to be fluent in Russian. So one of my favorite verses is Psalm 52:8-9. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. I'm thankful for the Lord's work he's done in my life because it's completely been him that's done it. And I know in the future I will look back and I will say it's him that has done it. So thank you very much for this opportunity to come. And may the Lord richly bless each of you.